effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, I'm here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Dr. Joe Douglas. Joe's been worked with intelligence agencies in the past. He lives back in Washington, D.C. He's been retired for a number of years. He knows so many of the people back there. And well, anyway, it's always a great source of information about what is really going on back in the nation's capital and throughout the world. So, without further ado, Dr. Joe, oh, incidentally, we do carry Joe's book, Betrayed, the story of the men we abandoned in Vietnam and in Korea. And, of course, we also, we don't carry his book, but he's written a book called Red Cocaine, which is goes into the background of the drug trade throughout the world. So without further ado, good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, what are we going to cover this morning?
Well, I was, you know, my wife and I had a fascinating conversation about a couple days ago, and she was reading this latest book, a New York Times bestseller, as it turns out, by Denise D'Souza, and the title of it is What's So Great About Christianity? And it really takes a hard look at all the efforts that have been going on to trash Christianity by the atheists in our country, and around the world, for that matter. And it's a very interesting book, and the guy has done a tremendously good job of collecting all the data and exposing what the case that is trying to be made against Christianity by people, most of whom haven't even looked into the basis of Christianity.
Well, there is this intense hatred of Christianity. We can see the evidence of the conspiracy against God, and at Christmas time, as they take the Christ out of Christmas and they take the Christ out of out of our schools and certainly our universities. And the purpose of education today is to destroy the faith of the people. I mean, there really is an organized effort, very well financed, to destroy Christianity. And yet they still haven't been able to do it.
No, and you know, they skew the statistics and the discussions, and that was the part that my wife was reading at the time. Because they focus all the attention on the crimes that have been committed under the name of Christianity, and then they totally ignore the crimes that have been committed by the atheists, which are orders of magnitude greater than any of the Christian crimes, notwithstanding the fact that all of those are grossly overestimated.
And, of course, you know, certainly the Inquisition. I mean, this had to do with the power structure of the Catholic Church. Had nothing to do with Christianity.
That's true. And that was one of the good examples that he used. He made the statement, he was making the statement that, you know, 500 years after the Inquisition, there has been absolutely no end of the recriminations, all of which put the blame on the Christian faith, and of course none of it on the Catholic Church,
right,
or little of it. And then he follows this up, and this is what she drew my attention to at the time. He compares that with what he says was, you know, we've had the worst operation by any organization, the communist organization, since the beginning of time, probably, in terms of the evil that they perpetrated over the past 100-plus years. And D'Souza made the comment there that, you know, 20 years after the collapse of communism, in comparison to the Inquisition, there is barely a murmur of the crimes the communists actually committed. And then he has this wonderful statement which basically says being a communist means never having to say you're sorry. don't that sort of describe the situation we're in?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is so obviously biased. I mean, how anybody could see what's going on today and not understand there's an effort to destroy the Christian faith. And why is there so much effort? You know, whether it's Dan Brown's stories, you know, is about, you know, the Catholic Church or Opus Dei or secret societies. And Dan Brown's a wonderful, wonderful writer, fascinating. But it's all aimed at destroying Christianity and, oh, Christ really didn't die on the cross. And of course, he really came over to France and had an illicit love affair with Mary Magdalene. Anything to raise doubts in people's minds. And, you know, those books of Dan Brown sold millions of copies throughout the world. And they made it into a movie with Tom Hanks. But that's just one example of an organized, coordinated, well-financed effort to undermine Christianity. Of course, they've infiltrated the church. That's the greatest harm that they've done. And, you know, they've infiltrated the seminaries. They've infiltrated, the churches. And they've changed the music and the message of the church. And there's where Christianity is really under attack, is the attack from within.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's another book that came out this past year that addresses precisely that issue. It's by a person, you may know him, or certainly know of him, John MacArthur, a very conservative theologian. And the book is on the war against truth. And he looks at particularly the evangelical community. And the conclusion that he reaches is that the efforts to deny the truth and to fabricate falsifications have now basically taken control of the vast majority of the evangelical movement, the seminaries and the churches, and will soon destroy the religion if something isn't done. Poignant book, and very much on this explaining exactly that precise thing, which he does through looking at the corruption of Scripture and the way in which the people are basically bowing down to the political correctness of the current day. Very strong book.
Well, you know, of course, it takes a lot of courage to come out today and profess that you're a Christian if you are, in the public venue, if you're in the public eye, because, you know, right now, of course, people, you know, look and see what our administration, supposedly a Christian administration, is doing, and they're advocating torture. There seems to be little question that they're involved with all sorts of nefarious schemes throughout the world. They lied to the American people about why we went to war in Iraq and gave as an excuse, oh, well, we got faulty intelligence, but nobody is ever fired for that. And, you know, a lot of Americans know that they can't believe what this Christian administration is doing. It's spending us into oblivion. But, I mean, how can you possibly, if this is what Christianity is all about, why an awful lot of people are going to turn against Christianity? How can you justify torture on one hand and then claim you don't use it on the other? I mean, they know that we're not being told the truth. We'll be right back.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
It's definitely that time of year again. And if your holiday travel plans include a trip over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house, or perhaps that island getaway for just the two of you, may we suggest www.gogoldentravel.com for all of your holiday travel plans. Book your flight, your car, your hotel, and a few extras on www.gogoldentravel.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Dr. Joe Douglas. And Dr. Douglas was talking about the attack on Christianity, and then, of course, the defense of Christianity by Dr. John MacArthur, who's a reform minister in Southern California, and certainly one of the great ministers of our time, and certainly a brilliant presentation in defense of the faith. And we've seen videos that he's done, read the books that he's written. And John MacArthur is pointing out that the church has been infiltrated with ideas very subtly changing the message of the church. But he recognizes this, and the same thing happened 100 years ago with Spurgeon. And, you know, the same forces at work, they've always been there attacking Christianity from within. So pick up the story there, Joe.
The place I was heading toward here, Dr. Stan, on this, is to look at the role that our own government and the media and academia, if you will, are playing in this destruction of the United States, if you will. Back in the 1980s, at that time I was getting deep into the study of the narcotics trafficking around the globe, because it came apparent to me that everything we were being told was basically a fabrication, because no one was mentioning the role of the Soviet Union or Communist China. As I got into this subject, working with some the highest level inside sources from the communist world ever to defect to the West, it became apparent that the major primary force behind the growth in the drug trafficking beginning in 1949 was, on one hand, communist China, and then acting independently of them and becoming even more greater a problem was the Soviet Union, the communists. And they were the major force here in giving us the problem we have today. And not only that, but also they were the major force in the growth of organized crime since the mid-1950s. They totally revamped the nature of organized crime to take it out of the mom-and-pop type of operations or small cottage industries into mammoth global corporate enterprises in which the state operates as the primary corporate entity that gives protection, research, facilities, financial support, and everything else necessary to really grow this thing, because of its tremendous adverse effect on the world economies, particularly those in the West, and on the corruption of the political authorities. And this is only the start of the story. The other thing I ran into was that at the same time that the Soviet Union began those two intelligence operations, which were not normal intelligence operations, they were strategic intelligence operations, they also undertook a third, which was the sponsorship an organization of international terrorism. And as we came through the time and it became apparent that the Soviet Union was this directing force behind all these things, whose main target was the United States, of course, the more you tried to tell anybody about this in the U.S. government, you know, it wasn't a case of them not believing you. They simply did not want to know, and worse than that, they wanted not to know. That happened. That was really the reason that I wrote the Red Cocaine book, because I went to every single agency in the U.S. government in about 1986 telling them what I had found about, you know, laying out the entire Soviet strategy, the people, the institutions, the times, the leadership, the goals, the objectives, the strategy, its expansion through the intelligence operations in the entire Warsaw Pact countries. But nobody wanted to hear anything about it. It was just like a code of silence against it. And what we run into in every topic we address, in which the Soviet Union ends up playing a role, or the Russians, is this sort of code of silence which is enforced by our U.S. government and by the media. Now, another topic that I started getting into in the late 80s, if you recall, in terms of betrayed, is what happened to American POWs. And here's where some of the best examples of statements of what our policy is came out. Now, one of the people that's been involved in this movement, John Brown, did a detailed study of archives, and what he came across were two memos, directives, I should say. One was signed by Franklin Roosevelt just before his death, and the second was signed by Harry Truman, president, just after he took over the presidency. And these were both focused on the treatment of U.S. POWs in German concentration camps that had been taken over by the Russians. And there were two major thrusts in these two different directives, both signed first by Roosevelt and then reissued by Truman. And in the first thing, where there were some prison camps where actual prison, U.S. prisoners were being liberated because we were already there in those camps, the directive said that there will be no criticism of the treatment that the U.S. forces had received by the Russians. Now, that is a direct statement of this silence regarding the crimes of communism, because they had been known as just totally brutal people when it came to the use of POWs, and we knew that. And, of course, the story of that is even worse as it goes on through the years, as you recall.
Well, of course, the thing is that many of the prisoners, though, American prisoners who were taken over by the Soviets, were never returned. That is the one thing that the average American has never been told, and the further the figures, 20 or 25,000 Americans were abandoned by Roosevelt and Truman and left to die in the Gulag. These are men who joined our military, you know, because they wanted to fight for freedom.
That's right. They were
betrayed by our leaders.
Yeah, and that was the subject of the second directive that went out. And that second directive stated to our commanders over there that there would be no retaliatory action to Russia and their failure to cooperate. And that was this abandonment of over 20,000 American prisoners who were basically given to the Russians to take it. Even though the Russians had agreed to release all the prisoners, they didn't. They only released the ones at the two camps where we were had already forces there, which amounted to about 4,000 prisoners out of about 26,000. And the rest were taken over, and our commanders were directed not to pursue them, not to raise the issue, just to remain silent about it.
And that is really one of the worst things that ever really happened, that in Operation Keel Haul, where we forcibly repatriated almost 6 million Russians to Russia at the end of the Second World War. And, of course, 2 million of them were immediately killed, 2 million sent to the Gulag to die, and 2 million could never get a job again, could never have any hope, and they kept them there in Russia to give the rest of the Russian people the feeling of hopelessness.
That's right.
So, certainly we abandoned, you know, our own men, and the average American has never heard that. We have the report, incidentally, out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that gives the whole story. Totally suppressed by the controlled media, but that is available from Radio Liberty, from my ministry, by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We call it the Helms Committee Report.
And it's important for the readers to understand here, I think also, that while we talk about this sort of silence, passive doing nothing, restraint about any reprisals, what have you, that the real story goes well beyond that. For every time there's a silence, there's also a cover-up. And in the case of our prisoners, there was a major cover-up orchestrated with the British to make it appear as though there were no Americans abandoned. And this was the creation of false records and hiding of records, deliberate and direct cover-up, so that people would not be able later on to identify what had actually happened. And that's, you know, that's also a case when you look at the media that you brought up. All of the reporting, or so much of the reporting of the Soviet Union, particularly in its early days, was designed to basically cover up what was happening and what the Soviet Union was like. You had people who attended all the war trials that said, basically were writing it up, Walter Duranty in particular, who won a Pulitzer Prize for a lot of his treatment of that and the starvation of the people in the Ukraine, that, well, you know, there was nothing really serious happening here. It was just a lot of people that deserved what they got. It was the long and the short of his stories. And later on, it became true that it was all fabricated and there was no resemblance between his stories and the truth. And you have this going on and on and on, this pattern. You had the medical practice over in the Soviet Union, which had for years been said to be, you know, miles ahead of the United States. Tremendous treatment. Everybody gets free treatment. It's something to look up to. It may be the type of thing that some of the people running for office think actually happened. But when, indeed, they started falling apart and we started going over there, we found the conditions just deplorable. Treatment of disease, you know, years, decades, centuries behind the rest of the world, where they might have one hypodermic needle and have to use that for a week on 200 patients or something like that because that's all they had. Awful conditions, road conditions, which made the Soviet Union, and it still is the same, look like a third world country once you got outside, you know, Moscow and some of the other show cities.
Well, you know, I recently did some interviews with a Soviet fellow who's actually living in this country, and he had written a book with Litvinenko called Blowing Up Russia. But he was commenting, I think he's one of major universities in the East, but he said even today you get an hour outside of St. Petersburg and Moscow, and you're in the 19th century. I mean, there is no development of the outer areas. The cities are fine. They're very modern, but you get an hour outside of one of the major cities in Russia today, and you're living in the 19th century.
That's right. But very little of that was made public until people started going over and actually seeing these areas. It's come out more, but still there's no great attention that's really placed on it. You know, another thing, and again, I want to come back to the idea that this is not accidental. It's not just the media. It is U.S. policy. And the person that described that best was Colonel Carso, who testified before Congress in 92 and again in 96. Carso was over working for in the CINCPAC, that's the commander-in-chief of the Pacific area in World War II. And following that, and as we got into Korea, he was there. And he was in CINCPAC intelligence. One of his jobs was really to follow what was happening to U.S. prisoners of war that were captured early in the Korean War. And he couldn't quite understand it because he had all these reports of the atrocities that were being conducted on U.S. prisoners. He knew what was happening. He never saw anything really written about it very much in the newspapers. He sent people out to try and determine it, but they were never able to. They never came back. He was also on the peace talks in Panmunjom, and he saw the crimes of deceit and deception that were taking place there. And then he got reassigned to Washington and was on the White House staff. And one of his areas that he was responsible for was prisoners of war at the final outcome of the war in Korea. And his description of what happened there lays it all out. You know, what he said is that our war was not to win, or our policy was not to win the war. And he called it a policy of paralysis and diversion. First, the policy, he said, would paralyze our actions, and then they would divert it away from the POW issue.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Joe Douglas, right here at the American Freedom Network.
Discover Magneticare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, doctors, we're at the American Freedom Network, and of course, Dr. Douglas was just talking about one of the military officers who analyzed Korea and basically saying Korea was a no-win war. We didn't go there to win, but those of you who listened to our programs in the past will realize that Vietnam was a no-win war. But what most people don't understand is that Iraq is a no-win war, too. If you doubt what I say, you can go up on the internet, you can pull down the speech was given on the 12th of October by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the coalition forces in Iraq from June of 2003 to June of 2004, and read the talk that he gave. The second half, you don't have to read the first half, it deals with the media, but the second half, he deals with the fact that, well, as he said, the best thing we could possibly hope for in Iraq is to avoid defeat. We're living a nightmare. The military has not been allowed to win the war. But you can't understand what's going on in Iraq unless you understand what went on in Vietnam, what happened in Korea, which is what Dr. Douglas is talking about. And, of course, Korea was the first no-win war. Go ahead, Dr. Douglas.
As I was talking about Colonel Corso's comments here, Dr. Stan, and this is very important for two reasons. One, he was there. He'd been in the war. He'd seen it from the perspective of the forces. But more importantly now, he was in the White House for several years, and he saw what was happening there. And here's what he said. It just shows it really beautifully. He said, this is what he testified to under oath. U.S. policy stopped every effort against the Soviet Union. We shouldn't put pressure on the Soviet Union. We shouldn't try to detach a satellite. We shouldn't be strident against the Soviet Union. And the media went along with this. Within that framework fell our prisoners of war. Because we couldn't put pressure on the Soviet Union or the satellites, we couldn't. They had our prisoners, and we couldn't put pressure on them. That was it. Our policy forbid us from doing it. If you did it, you were disobeying national policy. We called this policy fig leaf policy. Now, the second reason, this he talked about this in 92, and at that time, the people in the Senate that were listening to this didn't want to hear any more. They just basically threw him over the table, said this guy's just too old. He's not worth listening to. Bob Dornan had him back to testify in his committee in 96, and he said the same thing. He had a beautiful memory. And then Dornan stopped the proceedings, and he had a document that had been found in the meantime by some friends in the Pentagon, and it was an NSC document that described the fig leaf policy by name and the nature of the policy. And it was exactly what Corso said, namely that the United States was not to confront the Soviet Union directly. So it's not accidental. It's not just something that's evolved. It's the result of direct U.S. policy, and the same policy also dictates largely what the media has said about it. And so here we are. Nobody is allowed to be told the truth about the country that has been our main enemy since 1917.
But of course,
I might add.
But Joe, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you look at it logically, why wouldn't we confront them? Why wouldn't we try to get our men back? Why would we extend tremendous military and financial aid to the Soviet Union?
For years
and years.
These
are the questions that nobody wants to address.
That's right. And that eventually will bring us to the subject of three of your newsletters earlier this year in, as I recall, April, May, June, July.
The Communist Capitalist Alliance.
And it's not that the communists are out there operating on themselves. You know, they don't have any direct control over U.S. policy. It's not what they're doing that causes the result that being a communist means you never have to be sorry for what you did. Because they aren't sorry. Not one slightest trace of attrition or anything. I mean, they're pleased with it, and most of them, I think, are still working at it. What's key, and is the hardest part, I think, of this thing to believe, is the alliance between the communists and the people who actually are probably the most powerful people behind the U.S. government and the media and academia, for that matter. This international finance, the finance capital that funds the foundations that control the research and the policy investigations, for example, and make it so that there shall be no studies that are really anti-communist in nature or that look at the truth about communists. And the control of the publishing industry, so it's very difficult to get something published that is really exposing the degrees of evil within the communist system, or that tells people all about what the communists did in creating this drug plague that we have, or the tremendous amount of organized crime in the world today, or the whole problem of international terrorism. I mean, unless you get into that alliance, which you have done very excellently in earlier this year, none of this stuff is believable. As you say, it's incomprehensible to try and answer these questions until you start learning who's really behind this thing. Now, a very good thing that we talked about before that gets into a little bit of this also actually one paragraph out of about a two-inch thick book, The Black Book of Communism. Now, this is a book written by some French former communists in 1997, and it was focused on the crimes of communism that they could find out of the archives that have become available. And it's some of their revelations are rather tremendous. They say that there's no force that's been more destructive over the past century than the communist force. And what was very amazing about the book is, notwithstanding its dry nature, it became a publishing sensation in France. And the reason was not so much the crimes of communists, which are from page 1 to page 900, whatever it is. What caused it to be a success was the extent to which the people were totally surprised by this book, by the crimes. None of them had been allowed to be talking about before. It was not quite as bad in the United States, but still it has suffered from the same problem. There was no real work, a lot of work to falsify things, such as the newspaper reporting by Walter Duranty is a good example. But generally, there's been a silence over all those things. And what the authors in this black book said are really wonderful. They looked at, believe it or not, the crimes of Hitler's Germany to get a basis for comparison. And they concluded that the crimes of communism were so much worse that it even made more stark the question they were raising, which was namely, you know, we've had all this attention placed on Hitler's crimes over and over every year after year after year. But at the same time, and this is a direct quote from them, the editor wrote, "But why is there such an awkward silence from politicians? Why do the revelations concerning the communist crimes cause barely a stir? Why is there such a deafening silence from the academic world regarding the communist catastrophe, which touched the lives of about one-third of
all of us?" We'll be right back in just a moment here.
80 years.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I for the last segment with Dr. Joe Douglas, talking about why is it that we never talk about the crimes of communism. We always talk about the crimes of the Nazis, you know, and then Hitler acknowledged, or at least we acknowledge that Hitler killed 6 million Jews and 12 million others. That's about 18 million. But Solzhenitsyn claims the Russians killed 60 million. Why aren't we concerned about that and the massive deaths in communist China, you know, which dwarf what happened in Russia? So you pick up the story there, Joe.
You know, this is the statement in this black book is just so on the target. You know, why such a deafening silence from the academic world? Why such an awkward silence from politicians? Neither of them want to talk about it. Well, here the black book falls down also because they go into three or four academic reasons to try and justify this action, all of which miss the mark completely.
Right.
For example, you want to know why the academics are silent or the politicians? You know, that doesn't require a rocket scientist to figure that one out. They know that the powers that be don't want them to talk about those things or write about them or research them. And who are the powers that be? The main financial powers that really control the political situation in the United States. The people that drive the election monies in the various political powers, the people that basically finance the main tax-exempt foundations, which are responsible for probably 90% of the studies dealing with policy, and which have been supporting the expansion of communism and the turning of the United States into a socialist country, as was laid out in excruciating detail during the Reese Committee hearings and the Cox Committee hearings, and is published in the final report of the Reese Committee back in 1954, which of course got total silence in the media. They don't want to see the connections.
Well, they don't want us to see the connection. That's the thing. You know, the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that. I mean, it's not the power of communism that's doing all of these things. It's the people in this country that are helping the communists and financing the communists and aiding the communists and covering for the communists. And only when we begin to understand that, and then the next step is what motivates them, and you get in the background of Andrew Carnegie and Henry Ford and certain of the Rockefellers, they're all deeply involved in the occult. That is what everybody has missed.
You're absolutely correct, Dr. Stan. It's totally missed. And it's tragic. One of the main reasons, of course, it ends up being missed is because nobody's allowed to write about it. When something does get written, it can't get published. And when it gets published, it doesn't get any publicity in
right.
papers. When Red Cocaine was published, a good example, the publisher sent out 250 copies to all the top journalists, newspapers, television news programs across the United States. Now, this is a book that was all written on inside information. It has subsequently been described by several people to me in the intelligence community as right on the mark. They've now confirmed everything in it as being absolutely correct. It lays out the whole details of the Soviet effort to undo the United States with drugs, to corrupt the leadership, the youth, the inner cities. It's all there. You could take a front-page story and get it out of any page in the book, almost. Yet there were only two newspapers that picked up when that book was sent around. Both of them did minor stories. One was the New York Herald Tribune, whose major circulation was probably not over 2,000, and the other was the Washington Times, which did a small piece on it that really didn't go into many of the details. But that's it. Other than that, excruciating silence. It didn't do any good to write the book other than to put it out there in the record.
How can people get copies of that book, Joe?
It's on the Internet. It's at Amazon.com has it. The publisher, which is World Reports Limited, a British organization, has done did a new edition back in 2000, and that's available too. And the easiest way is right on the Internet.
Okay, fine. It's a great book, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly Dr. Douglas has done a tremendous job. But, of course, it got the conspiracy of silence. The last thing they want is for the American people to think and begin asking, why is it that here in America we never hear about these things? You hear about it in other countries. Well, the truth is, here in America we have a controlled media, and they're not about to let you know the truth. And that is certainly, we're involved in a battle for the survival of America, but behind everything that's going on are powerful spiritual forces which are rewarding people with great wealth and power for coming over to the dark side. And they're the ones who are actually promoting communism throughout the world. This is what people cannot understand.
Very understandable, because it's really unbelievable, and particularly in the manner in which we've been brainwashed. And see, the part of the silence, I believe, major part of the silence regarding the crime of communism, is they don't want the linkage between the communists and international finance, all the respectable people around the world, particularly the ones that fund all our major foundations. They don't want that linkage to become apparent, because then all the dirt of communism will rub off on international finance, and we'll begin to look at what else they've been doing, of which you've laid it all out in your newsletters in April, May, and June and July. And they don't anybody see that. You know, the two most revealing comments came to me on this communist-capitalist alliance, which it deserves all the attention we can place on it, because it's still going on, came from Jan Sena, who was the highest level defector we've ever had. His position in Czechoslovakia was higher than Kissinger's position under Nixon in terms of his access, although he was not a decision maker himself. He was a key staff person that ran basically the Ministry of Defense, the Defense Council, and the Defense Council is higher than the Politburo. And he had a photographic memory. He was just just an amazing source of information, inside information. And he very rarely got any of his facts mixed up. He told me two things. One thing he said on several occasions, he said, "Joe, never was there a decision made in Moscow that international was finance was not present."
Joe, we're out of time. You hang on. I want to carry over in the next segment. Get those two things he told you.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Joe Douglas, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, what were the two things that he told you?
He said, first, never was there a decision made in Moscow that international finance was not present.
Fine. Now, remember, this is a general in the Czechoslovakian army. Go ahead.
Yes, and the second thing that he said was, never was there a week went by when there were not secret meetings held in the special villas in Prague between Soviet leadership and intelligence and international finance.
Okay, well, I think that is very, very revealing, the relationship between international finance and these brutal regimes. God bless you. Thanks so much, Joe, and look forward to getting I'd like to get you on some of our other programs to tell the same story.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Thanks so much.
I don't think we can hit that one hard enough.
Okay, well, we'll keep pounding away. Thanks so much. God bless. Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a pamphlet. It's called The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. Inexpensive. It's, you know, I think $3.95. The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. And then, of course, if you want more information, certainly the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, the book and the DVD, my interview with Professor Sutton. Understand that we financed communism from its inception. And, of course, this was brought out in the congressional investigations in 53 and 54, the Reese Committee investigation, totally suppressed by the media, but we do have the book written by the council called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, pointing out how the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundation were financing the communist movement here and, of course, pushing our State Department to follow the communist plan for conquest of Eastern Europe and China. And it was the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundation that influenced domestic policy and brought communism to China. You need to read this book. You need to understand nothing as it appears to be. But what everybody has missed is the fact that Andrew Carnegie and Henry Ford and certain people within the Rockefeller family tied into the occult. And when you begin to see that, then everything begins to open up. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret, comes with a syllabus. You need to get our 4-tape or 4-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand that we've created the best enemy money could buy. Why? Because if you didn't have an enemy, would the American people pay their taxes? Would they finance the largest military in the world? Not. We spend more money on our military than all the rest of the countries in the world put together. Why do we do that? Because America is to lead the world into this world government. We are to have an empire, and we are, of course, to control all the leaders of the world. And, of course, if they will not be controlled, then we simply eliminate them, either by assassination or by war or whatever it would take to accomplish that goal. Why are we, you know, involved with governments throughout the world? Why are there American troops stationed in 130 nations? Why do we have over 700 military bases throughout the rest of the world? Why do we still have troops in Germany and Japan and Korea long after the war ended? That's what we're going to do in Iraq, too. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you want a free catalog, free newsletter, give us a call. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.